Had enough rain? I hope everybody has gotten their basements cleaned out if you've needed to. And I see driving through town, there's a lot of stuff along the boulevard being picked up, and Virginia was diligent with her front-end loader picking up stuff this week. Cook, of course, is still underwater. I remember that was my first church. I remember every spring the river would overflow to a certain extent, but what they have up there now I think is probably record-breaking for those folks. So a couple of announcements that are in the bulletin this week. On Tuesday, 12:45, helping out at Salvation Army, I think Wayne was spearheading that or organizing that. So if you're able to help, this week would probably be really good to be able to help there. And then on next Sunday at 2 o'clock, we have a service at Waterview Pines. And again, Wayne was going to lead the singing for that and organize some other things as well. So I don't know. I'll probably be doing that service. So if you're able to help the folks find the page numbers for the hymns, that would be great. So I've mentioned Wayne a couple of times. Some of you know, I think probably all of you know, that Wayne had a massive stroke this week and is in St. Mary's. So continue to pray for Bernie and Elizabeth and Jennifer. And I'd throw in Kate and Zach and Terry as well, because they were so close, Kate and Zach, to Wayne. Zach has visited, I think yesterday. Zach and Kate were Greg's kids, and it's kind of tough on them because Greg passed away last year. So it's like two blows in a row. What's that?
Just this year.
This year?
The funeral was on Good Friday.
Oh, this year. Wow,
so
yeah.
Very, very close.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough on Zach and Kate for sure. Two blows in a row like this. Continue to pray for Judy for her recovery. She's in Miller Thuan for rehab. So if you would stand with me, and let's read the call to worship responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love.
And his wonderful deeds for men.
Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people.
And praise him in the council of the elders.
We're going with the hymn machine today. Going to have a couple different arrangements. So we're going with it. And the first hymn is 525, Wonderful Words of Life.
Father, we come to you this morning to celebrate you and your goodness. We are your people, and so we honor you when we come together. We honor you with your Son, who is at your right hand, Jesus, our Lord, Redeemer, and Savior. We honor you because you are the holy God, you are the supreme God, and we exalt you, worship you, bless you, thank you, and praise you. Meet with us today, Lord Jesus, as you said in your word, that wherever two or three are gathered, you will be in our midst. And we thank you and praise you and glorify you. In your holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
First reading is from Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 through 20, and that is page 408 in the Pew Bible. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked return to the grave, all nations that forget God. But the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted ever perish. Arise, O Lord, let not man triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. The second reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and that's page 767 in the Pew Bible. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Pray together. Father, we're just humans, which is one of the reasons why we exalt you, because you are our God. We give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you with our time, our talents, our personalities, everything that we have. And so we ask you to bless our giving, and let it honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers.
Stand for the doxology. There's a little intro. Doxology.
Be seated. We have a small group today because the Hill family is at a wedding. Shirley is down in the cities, and they both have expressed that they would have liked to have been here for Bernie and Wayne, but circumstances are otherwise. So thank you for being here today. Let's pray together. Father, our God, we declare you as our God. Jesus, we declare you as our Lord. And as the song just said, we praise you no matter what the day is. Our hope is in you. Our faith is in you. Our trust is in you. We ask you to guide our steps. Continue to be with us as we travel this journey until one day you will make all things right and our Savior Jesus will reign supreme. This morning, Father, we ask that you would be with Bernie and Elizabeth, Jennifer, Zach, and Kate. Help them, comfort them, give them strength in the midst of these difficulties. We ask that you would be with Wayne as well, comforting him, ministering to him where you can reach that we can't. We ask you for wisdom for the family and the decisions that they may need to make even today, and give them strength for the decisions that they are confronted with. Our Father, we ask you to continue to be with Judy in her recovery, and you know that what we've asked is full and complete quality of life for her. Be with our brother Roger also during this time, as he's spending a lot of time traveling back and forth and being with Judy, and also as he has visited and ministered to Wayne and the family. We thank you for our brother Roger and for his faith and for his glorifying you in his life. We thank you, Father, for the life history of so many people in this church that have stood their ground, that you are the holy God, and Jesus, you are the holy Savior, Redeemer. We join with them with our history. We stand solid, immovable, and declare that you are our God. For others in our church family, Father God, we ask that you'd be with them, thinking particularly of Steve and Ed and their need for recovery. But there are probably others too that I don't know of or can't think of right now. So I just ask that you'd be with all of us in the struggles of life and helping us on our pathway. Thank you for that. We pray today for all of those folks who are helping services, who have ministered to Steve and Judy and Wayne, paramedics, medical professionals, law enforcement, social workers, so many people that have been a comfort and a blessing and a help with their knowledge and expertise and their attitudes, how they bring joy even in the midst of trouble as they're ministering to people who are coming through the hospitals and clinics and whatever encounters. We thank you for them and ask you to bless them in their work and for those who are believers, how they show their faith and their love as they minister to people. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to each of us in our lives. And we ask our particular focus for missionaries, that you would be with Peter and Anna Kim in Taiwan, their request, and we will agree with their request. Grant them peace, trust, and contentment in all circumstances. And that's probably a good prayer for us as well, Father. So today we honor you as we do every day. You are the glorious God. And so we give you praise and honor in the name of your Son, who has made this all possible, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to 535. And Roger, can you turn up the sound of the hymnal just a little bit? Turn up the sound of the hymnal just a little bit. 5:35. I can hear it. Yeah, raise the sound a bit.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I asked Jeffrey to lead the singing when we're using the music box.
Hymn machine.
Because my hearing is not good, even with my hearing aids, and I don't have the voice he has, so he's got that gift of music. So thank you, and thank you, Roger, for working with the hymn machine, because it's a challenge, believe me. We've had some days where it hasn't been fun at all. So in the future, we're going to try to have a variety. Doreen Olson, who has filled in at the piano before, her church is Cook, but she lives in Virginia, so we're going to work with her schedule as when she can fill in. And of course, Jennifer visits occasionally with her violin, Shirley with her flute and piano, so, and then Jeffrey with the hymn machine when he is available. So it's going to kind of be a menu of options for us. So thank you for coming today. A small group, but we're believers in Jesus, so he's here with us. I'm going to continue our study from last week, the Word of God, the words of God, from the book of God. Just a quick review. Last week we were talking about the word is inspired, and I said, you know, explained that that word means God breathed. Those of you who have an NIV version were already ahead of me because that's what the NIV version says, God breathed. So you didn't need my whole explanation. I like that translation. In Mark chapter 1, just a review, we found last week that when Jesus was teaching Scripture, the people were astounded at his way of teaching. And they said, he's teaching as someone who has authority. In Mark chapter 16, we found out that Jesus' teaching and his life and ministry were confirmed by the miracles, signs, and wonders that followed him. So we know that this word is true because of his life, and my summary is this, and I think it's a challenge for us. Jesus lived as if this book were true. Everything he did, he believed his Father and the message to people from his Father and from the Spirit were true. And we'll find out a little bit later that Jesus was involved in that process as well. It's a challenge for me, and I'm thinking probably a challenge for you through the years, because I find almost every day a new scripture that I have to struggle with. Do I believe that? What does it mean? Jesus just believed it. And so we see the miracles, signs, and wonders as a result. We found out last week also that the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living and active. And the illustration I gave was some people believe that the Constitution of the United States is a living, breathing document, which means that it can be changed or interpreted differently. That's not what Scripture is saying in Hebrew 4 about itself. The Scripture doesn't change. God doesn't change. The Word is living and active and penetrates even the division of soul and spirit. And I gave that illustration last week. When I'm struggling with something, I go to the Word, and the Word helps Mike get his brain over here and the truth over here and sort those two things out. My brain is just constantly going. And so I have to get to a place where I can separate those two things and think clearly according to the Word of God. And I haven't arrived to the place where I get everything clearly. I'm growing, I'm still living, I'm still moving, and so I have to constantly consult this Word. I have the Word sitting next to me by my bed. I have the Word sitting next to me on the couch. I'm kind of stuck on the New American Standard Version, so I had to order, and I can't get the New American Standard Version Holman, which is what I'm used to, because I remember some verses where they are in the page, so I have to get that translation, but they don't print it anymore, so I'm ordering used copies off of eBay, and some of them come with underlining and whatever. But it really helps me because the pages are all printed the same way. In Hebrews chapter 4, it also says that the Word is able to divide between joints and marrow. And when I was younger, I probably didn't understand that, so I just read past it. as I've gotten older, I've begun to learn what joints are all about. And some of them ache and some of them don't work as well as they used to. So it gives me an illustration of how the Word of God can even separate between movements, things I should do, things I shouldn't do, words I should use, words I shouldn't use. And you're probably fully aware that these last 2 weeks, that has really been a prayer of mine, is what should I do? When should I visit? What words should I speak? Give me your word for your people in the midst of these struggles and challenges that they're facing. And then it goes on to say in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, we don't have time today to study the heart, but I've mentioned the heart before. I've been studying the heart for about 2 years now, and I still don't have a grasp of it, but I mentioned before that the heart of man is mentioned in the scriptures more than the soul, more than the mind, more than the spirit of man. And it's been a really interesting study because, as you know, the Word of God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Up to a couple of years ago, I just kind of lumped all of those together and said it's kind of the same thing. But it's repeated so many times. And one of the things I found out in my study is that the heart, one of the things that the heart does is it's the seat of intentions, where our mind is sort of the place where we process. And so when I found that out, I started to do a little experiment. Some of you know that I'm kind of a scientist at heart. When I was in high school, I was able to take some college classes, and one of the classes I took was physics. I love physics. And I talk to people, and I think everybody I've talked to, I said, did you take physics? I haven't found anybody. Did you take physics?
That was more upper level in high school, right? I stopped at
biology or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not too many people like physics. but I do. And so I've got this kind of sort of scientific process, and so I thought, if the heart is the center, what's that?
I had it in college.
Oh, you did, okay. If the heart is the center of intentions, I'm going to start to look at my intentions. And so an example would be, so I meet somebody and I don't remember their name. What is my intention? Well, my first intention is I don't want to be embarrassed. And so I start talking with them, hoping somewhere along the line they'll drop a little hint that'll jog my memory, or maybe even by chance they'll mention their name. Some people come and introduce themselves and say, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Joe. Thank you, Joe, because you just helped me out. So peeling back those layers of my intentions, what do I really intend? So I peel back that layer, and I find underneath that layer of not wanting to be embarrassed is, I remember this person, and so I just want to talk with them and find a blessing of connection. And all of you know about that. You connect with somebody. It's just cool. Reconnect with somebody that you haven't seen in years. Just met Jim Fretheim this week. I met with the pastors from Itasca, Beltrami, and Couchiching County over in Big Falls, and he was there. And it was a reconnection because he was superintendent. He's retired now, and he came to visit us on our 100th anniversary for the church here. So it was good to reconnect with him then. So peeling back those intentions, once I got to know his name and got past that, my intention was to reconnect with him, find out where he is in the Lord and if he has any wisdom for me. That's just an easy illustration. One of the harder illustrations of finding my heart was my recovery from my dad. And I won't go into all of the issues, but I had mentioned before that I had trouble. All of us kids had trouble with Dad. And so I left home and joined the Navy. And when I was in the Navy, my first duty station, went to a church and went forward at an altar call and just got alive in the Lord. So excited. No common sense whatsoever, which I thank goodness for. I thank God for that, because that's the kind of fire that I need. Came back, got a week or two in between duty stations, come back, and went over to Mom and Dad's house, and I'm just excited, and I knock on the door, and Mom and Dad are standing. Dad is standing in front of me. His mom is off to the right. And I just started talking to them about this Jesus I have found. And just so excited. And I don't know how far I got, but my dad just exploded. Said, "You will not talk like that in this house." And he was 6'2", and I'm 5'3". So he just, and a good strong man, he just picked me up by my clothes and threw me out of the door. And I left there, and my scientific method, I'm trying to analyze this, of course. But the result was, I need a father. And I found a father in our Father God. Now the years go by. And we're invited to family gatherings, peeling back the layers of my heart. What are my intentions? My intentions, as I peel back those layers, I'm going to love Mom and Dad no matter what has happened. And so I was able to attend those gatherings, continue to talk about the Lord, continue to display joy and love and peace in my heart and in my life and in my words. Didn't get thrown out again. Maybe because there were other people at the gatherings. I don't know. And then later in life, as they went into an assisted living situation, both of them were fairly healthy medically, but Mom was blind and deaf by that time. And she passed away first before my dad. And so I was left with the task of being power of attorney for my dad. And so I visited him regularly. And again, just developed a posture of love and grace and peace with him and ministered to him, pulling back those layers. What is my intention? My intention is to live like Jesus before my dad, before him, in his presence, continue to pray for him. It's kind of an interesting activity you might want to try. when you're in a situation and you act, and then ask yourself why. What was my intention? Peel back a layer. What's underneath that intention? And get right down to the heart of why we are Christians, why we love the Lord, why we love people, even when sometimes people are unlovable. Why did Jesus live? Why did Jesus, the Word of God, live before us in such an incredible way? His heart was pure before God. And just a reminder, too, remember the Word of God says God sees the heart. And that's a good reminder for all of us, too, that we don't see other people's hearts. And so sometimes we see what they're doing and we draw conclusions, right? Sometimes we end up with that bad word, judgments. We make judgments based on their behavior or based on how they speak. But God sees the heart. God sees past all of it into our heart. Going on in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him, God, with whom we have to do. And so when it comes to me following the Word of God, one of the principles I use is God knows me inside and out. He knows me better than I know myself. My prayer is, God, Father God, Lord Jesus, help me to understand your Word. You know how I think. You know my idiosyncrasies. You know sometimes how weird I can get. Get through to me in a way that I can get it. And of course, Romans 10, verse 17, verse we're all very familiar with. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And hearing in this verse doesn't mean just listening. It means getting it, hearing it, making it real. And I've mentioned this before because I've used this in my life. There are a lot of things in this book I don't get. I don't understand. But I keep studying it. When I don't understand it, I don't get mad at it. I don't say, well, that can't be true, like some people do with scriptures that we don't understand, scriptures that look contradictory, like creation and whatever you call that when you go back in time and find dinosaurs and stuff like that. How do we put that together? I don't know how we put that together. I know God created everything, the universe, the world, people, animals, birds, mosquitoes. I know that God created it. I can't explain it any further, and I'll tell people that I can't explain it any further. Maybe someday I'll figure it all out, but I know this, one day I'll know it all. When we're with the Lord, we'll get all the answers. So there's sometimes I don't try to explain to people things because I don't know how to explain it. I just go back to, I know this. God created. And you can figure it out anyway after that if you want to. But I know my God. And I know that Jesus was involved in that creation. Don't ask me to explain it, but this word says that. In fact, that's one of the principles in Hebrews. Okay, I'll close in John chapter 6 today. This is an example of getting it and not getting it. So it's kind of a lengthy passage, but I'll read it anyway. John 6. John 6, beginning with verse 51. This is Jesus speaking. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews therefore began arguing with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, he's kind of going to add on to their problem and understanding, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? And in our English translation, it doesn't carry the impact of what they're saying. Basically, what they're saying is, this guy's an idiot. What is he talking about? This is just off the rails, off the edge. But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Well, try this on. What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Now I'm put myself in that place. I'm a disciple of Jesus. He has just spoken some words of God. I'm a disciple. I don't understand how I'm going to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I don't get it. And some of the disciples didn't get it either. I'm thinking maybe all of them didn't get it, to be honest with you. So I'm there as a disciple. I don't understand it. What do I do? And this is where it comes down. Verse 66. Do I stay or do I go? Even when I don't understand it, do I stay with Jesus or do I go? Verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They decided to go. Verse 67. Jesus therefore said to the 12. 12 were staying, so far anyway. You do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him. Very profound statement from Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? Not profound, just a decision. Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, you have the words. Even when I don't understand what you're saying, you have the words. Jesus had already given the explanation back up in verse 63. The things I'm saying to you are spirit. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the spirit. And some of them just didn't get it and left. An example of what hearing really is. Hearing connects us to our Lord. Hearing connects us to our Father God. And I'm hoping that we've gotten to the place in our walk with the Lord where we can say that, where we can confirm that. Even when I don't understand, my Father God, I'm sticking with you. Lord Jesus, my shepherd, I'm sticking with you. You'll get me through. You'll help me understand it. And that's not just true for God's word, it's true for life. I have lots of questions about what's been happening these last couple of weeks. And so what I do is, Father God, I'm sticking with you. Lord Jesus, I'm sticking with you. Holy Spirit, guide me in my walk and what I say. You are my rock. You are my life. You are my way and my truth. And that's where we all should be. Struggling no matter what the situation is, we come back to the Lord, who is the Word Himself. Amen.
Taking notes. Okay. Turn in your hymnals to 755 when we all get to heaven.
Day of rejoicing that will be.
Okay, we don't have any music. For the blood. What's that?
I can do the blessing.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Unless you want to do the benediction. Whatever.
Let's do the blessing.
Okay, I'm just going to come down here. Since we're a small crowd here, a bunch of two rows here look at the other ones. Okay? Then we got, here we go.